Well, we're live now.
All right, episode 14.
Number 14, here we are.
It's coming in big.
Why are you guys wearing headphones, but I didn't get the memo?
Oh, you know you don't need them with those ears, big guy.
Burn.
I walked into that.
Burn.
Yep.
It's almost like it was planned.
It's like those door frames you can't fit through with those big guys.
No. It's like what happens when Drew runs his dick into a wall.
What?
He breaks his nose.
Ha.
Anyway.
Gosh, and here we are.
Here we are.
Episode 14. It's been a bumpy road.
It has been a bumpy road. Our last one we actually got a lot of really good reception from, which is awesome. Not only did we get a lot of good reception, we got some voicemails, which we're going to do a little bit later. Shout out to Rebecca Riddle and Charles fucking Norman, the man, the myth, the legend.
That's it.
You got your boy Dustin here.
We got Drew over here.
And Tyler.
Yeah.
Ready to party. Today we got a couple of things in front of us. Some little fun fact you guys may or may not know. Sometimes in order to do this podcast, we have to get a little bit of like half in the bag, as they say. So we
crossed the pond.
Yeah. I started off with a Sierra Nevada Oktoberfest, and then we switched to the Florida Avenue Passion of the Heights. Give me your thoughts.
I think it's really nice. The hibiscus is a very interesting flavor for a hibiscus wheat ale. Yeah. You can definitely taste the more, weedy notes of it. But it does seem like it almost has some kind of cinnamon.
Like you said, that spiciness coriander to it. Or something. It's got like a bite. I like it a lot.
Something starts with a C. A cinnamon, a coriander, cumin. a cardamom, cumin.
Cumin.
Maybe curry, a bergamot.
Curry. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but
what did you think?
I think it's in here.
I think it's really good. I mean, I smashed it pretty quickly. So
yeah, you did.
Yeah, it's pretty much done. But yeah, I agree with you. Kind of has like a little bit of a kick at the end,
a little nip, if you will,
which I like.
Yeah,
there we go.
It's pretty solid. We also we have two special bottles in front of us. One of them that was actually provided by my stepdad on the bachelor party. It's called it's a Trip in the Woods. It's Bigfoot. Sierra Nevada's Bigfoot with it's been barrel aged. It's a vintage series. It's pretty solid. Definitely boozy. I thought it would honestly be a lot darker than it is.
Cheers.
Cheers to you.
I've not tried it yet.
I took a baby sip of it.
Mine's almost done.
In order to put up with us, Tyler has to get pretty much there.
Sauce,
yeah, he's got to get real saucy.
This one's super malty.
It is. Well, that's what I go for typically.
I think that's why I'm not like a huge fan, because I don't like malt flavor really.
Yeah.
But if you like malt flavor, you're going to fucking love this.
And I think that's why he enjoys them warm, is because then the warmer it gets, the more that malty flavor comes out and sticks on your palate and almost coats your whole mouth.
Like, I don't think you should drink an IPA warm typically.
Okay.
Typically.
Yeah, because I think that the coldness, you know, almost goes to like the crispness and like, some would say the piney elements of a nice IPA.
And I think the big thing is like a lot of the IPAs that I drink are Florida IPAs.
Yeah.
Mainly because I like try to
support local businesses. Are you trying to say that since they're from Florida that they are drank at warmer temperatures?
Well, it's just so fucking hot here that, you know, it's typically brewed to be refreshing.
Yeah.
So, and that's where you get the citrus flavors, a lot of them in there. If you go, you could definitely taste a difference in different IPAs from different regions.
Oh,
you know?
Absolutely.
I mean, even if they have the same IBU count, even if they have the same ABV,
you
could always taste the difference.
Well, you and I know like how differently those two numbers can be achieved, and they can still match because that scale has nothing to do with flavor profile, which is something that we want to get across to a lot of listeners out there. I think this is a great point that we stumbled on, is the fact that even though you do see 12.1% on this Trip in the Woods?
Yeah.
It is not something to shy away from because you expect a certain flavor of heavy ABV that's just going to punch you in the mouth.
Exactly.
When there's a lot of really good flavors in this beer that you can really, really enjoy. And it's something that you can sip on and savor for a while because there are so many of those flavors in there.
Exactly. And you know, that actually goes a long way with stouts because a lot of people... working at World of Beer and BJ's Brewhouse and a lot of the other places that have a prominent beer list.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, I don't like the dark stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like, what do you mean? Well, I don't like Guinness.
And it's like, don't characterize every single dark beer as Guinness.
Have you ever had Left Hand Nitro Stout?
Exactly. That is a delicious, creamy nitro milk stout.
Now, that is an it's both a very good and very bad example because it doesn't taste anything like of the point I'm actually trying to make. The nitrous is the big thing because it's a it means the beer is more dense,
yeah,
which means it feels heavy on you. But if you go like, people would say that all the time, and then I would like, oh, I don't want something that tastes like Guinness, and I would give them a nitro milk stout, and they would try it, and like, it's definitely tastes a lot better. It's just still so heavy.
Yeah.
So then I would go, I mean, the most recent example I had was the Ellipsis Trade Porter. Ellipsis is a local brewery.
Yeah.
Their Trade Porter, which is really good. It's actually very solid. What I like about it, and there's a few other stouts and porters out there, is it's not exciting, and that is a good thing. Because sometimes you want something simple. The other day I went to a bar, and I just wanted a light beer. I don't know why I was feeling it, but I just wanted a light beer. And like, I'm a huge fan of beer in general. So there's no problem for me reaching for a Bud Light or a Coors Light, but I actually went with like a local light, which is nice.
Yeah.
But
I think that might be a good idea for Red Tail, is for us to just come up with a beer for every situation.
And like, there's always room for exciting beers. Like, I drink crazy stouts and porters all the time. If it says barrel aged, I'm probably gonna buy it.
Yeah,
I don't like sours, and I'll buy a barrel aged sour.
Oh yeah,
you know, like I'll do it because it tastes good.
Speaking of, shout out to Burial Brewing back up there in North Carolina
again,
where they had that delicious barrel aged sour that we both enjoyed.
100%.
That thing was very good because it had some of that maltiness and some of the earthiness that comes through from it being barrel aged, but then it still had some more, I'd say, kind of lighter, more brighter notes from the sour effect.
Correct.
To it.
Yeah, it was it's well balanced for sure. Yeah. Well balanced for sure.
Delicious.
And that's why, like this one here, super malty, and then you hit the booze kick for this Trip in the Woods.
Oh, yeah.
And they do complement each other very well. And I think it's perfect that we have it in a wine glass right now. I mean, we don't have enough snifters to go around, which is very unfortunate.
Anything's a snifter for me.
Yes, it is. But this is not a drink that you're like, I'm gonna top off this bottle, which you have to because it comes with one of those corks and expands as you pull it out. But this could be one of those things where you could just get a glass and put the cap back on.
Well, I mean, that's where you could just use a classic wine stopper for it, because isn't something like this even technically closer to a barley wine?
It actually is a barley wine.
See? There you go.
Boom.
Barley wine stopper. Boom.
Yeah,
first product that we're going to come out with that's not, that doesn't have an alcohol percentage to it.
Actually, we got a couple of those.
Yeah.
Hashtag Dick Quiver.
Woo! Dick Quiver. Available in many sizes.
Extra, extra, extra large. Magnum size coming soon.
Magnum-sized dick quivers.
Magnum-sized dick quivers. You know what this really boils down to, though?
What?
You can have as much technology and alcohol as you want.
Yeah.
But nothing is ever going to taste as refined as something that's barrel-aged.
No, absolutely not.
Ancient technique.
Yep.
And incredible.
Well, now, interesting topic of one place that we didn't get to go to was, what was that place? Troy and Sons? The distillery?
Yeah.
Now, that place would have been interesting because I ended up seeing some clips of that guy online.
Troy is a woman.
Oh, then I'm thinking of a completely different brand. Never mind.
It might be Troy and Sons because they do have more than one person working.
Okay.
There,
well, because the Troy that I'm thinking of is a man.
Well,
but never mind. Different thing.
They could have been. Well,
the other Troy that I'm thinking of, would he found a way to use some form of electricity through wooden slats that were negatively and positively charged in a barrel to accelerate the aging process.
Yeah. To aggravate the bacteria to eat the sugar quicker.
No, I don't believe it was anything to do with that. It was literally just when you positively and negatively charge different slats of wood in a barrel. Not like the barrel, the slats on the outside. He had vertical slats going in the barrel as well. And with diodes running through those, it pulls the liquid in and pushes the liquid out as the current alternates throughout the day.
Okay.
So it accelerates the process of what would typically be done in a year down to like 3 months.
That's very interesting.
Because it was a guy that ended up starting up his own like corn whiskey, which was just plain old clear whiskey.
Right.
Because he would distill it in the mountains in backwoods, like either North Carolina or Mississippi or something like that.
Okay.
And he ended up getting a distillery, going fully government regulated and everything like that. And he went overseas, which was actually really smart, and went to a German whiskey show. People ate his whiskey up, and then he found a large corporate buyer that wanted like 40,000 cases. And he was like, well, I can produce 18,000 a year. And he's like, well, I want 40,000 cases by 6 months from now. Like, what are you going to do? So he had to find out a way to age the whiskey faster than was traditionally possible. And I think it's something to look into. Maybe we should compare that whiskey and see how it goes. See if he's still using that aging process.
You had me at whiskey. Compare whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
So I told you I had something for you. And the embarrassing thing is I've just lost it.
Well, good.
But it was... Have you ever heard of the Facebook page Uberfacts?
No.
Well, it's pretty solid. They have a lot of very interesting things. I just found it.
Oh.
Sugar-free hard seltzers such as White Claw get you drunker while reducing the likelihood of a hangover the next day. The carbon causes your bloodstream to absorb the alcohol more quickly. The lack of sugar helps you to stay more hydrated. So you were both absolutely wrong and 100% right at the same time.
Cool.
But your main point was the fact that it's water keeps you hydrated so you don't get drunk. But that's not true.
Okay, so it's the lack of sugar that...
It's the alcohol, which is what I was trying to prove to you, is the only thing that matters in this situation. Whereas you don't get a hangover because you're hydrating. So you got that part right. The hydration has something to do with it. Mm-hmm. But you will get just as drunk, and according to this scientific fact, more drunk than you would if you were drinking a beer of the same caliber.
Then I think it would be fair to say that it is not solely about alcohol percentage, as you stated before. So I'd say back to you as well that you're both very right and very wrong at the same time, because the alcohol percentage in the White Claw doesn't give it that extra bump. It's that almost a kind of steroid boost from the carbon dioxide, to where I believe that if you were to carbonate this beer.
Yeah.
That we're drinking right now, a trip to the woods, or a trip in the woods, that this 12% beer would probably get you drunk like a glass of wine.
But the thing is beer is carbonated.
Yeah.
As you very well know. But it's
naturally carbonated.
No.
It's not always...
I literally sit there. You missed this process every time we brew, but it's literally
a
CO2 tank and fucking chicken parm and I shaking kegs for 15 minutes at a time and rolling them back and forth in his kitchen till his freaking girlfriend gets mad because there's rubber on the bottom, so we get black marks all over our kitchen floor.
Oh, good Lord.
Beer is 100% carbonated.
Hey, well, just so you know, a tennis ball cleans those right up.
Good man. I mean, he has a Swiffer, so, you know.
Good luck.
He's got one of those day jobs.
Good luck. But...
But it's what it's telling.
I think those White Claws are a lot more carbonated because they don't have.
Well, it's a seltzer, so it's carbonated water. The thing is you don't taste. You taste. The carbonation is more prominent in the flavor and the feel because there's nothing competing with it.
No, I do understand that. But what I'm saying is, I think that that's the reason why White Claws still, like that article that you just read, get you equally as drunk, is because the carbon dioxide gets it into your bloodstream that much quicker.
Yes. They would only bring that up if
it wasn't comparable to beer.
Now, here's the big question. Do different alcohols get you drunk in different ways?
Because I believe honestly, so.
I'm 100% a different person if I'm drinking the equivalent of what I can drink in beer in vodka.
Well, fair enough.
I'm 100% different. If I'm drinking whiskey.
Anyway, speaking of different drunks, how drunk do you think you would get if you put one of those Glenlivet whiskey pods up your butt?
I would probably, you know what? I have no idea, but I'm willing to find out.
First YouTube video. Justin puts a Glenlivet whiskey pod where speaking no man wants to go. Videos,
real quick, I'm going to quickly interject.
Yeah?
With 2 points.
Okay.
Number one. This is probably going to be the bartender episode 0.2.
Okay.
Which is okay, because a lot of our topics are very interesting, but they all have to do with booze.
Yeah.
Number two.
This is the bartender's ball.
We actually do plan on waxing one of Drew's legs because he was short on a bet.
When you count to two, why do you do your index, then the pinky, then the shocker?
Heavy metal.
And then the fourth.
Because I keeps it metal. Whenever something good happens, what's the one thing I say every time?
Where do bad dogs go?
No, I just say metal. Oh, that's so metal. Like, I'd say that all the time. I'm sorry. I listen to metal. Yeah. Anyways, we will wax one of Drew's legs.
Yeah.
Now they're both healed up. I think we should, like, do a poll or something. Which leg should I wax? And how high should I wax it? I think...
Oh, inner thigh. Inner thigh.
No, I think halfway up the thigh is fair.
Oh, no.
Like, where your shorts end?
Oh, no.
Right there?
Knee.
Up to the knee?
I'm thinking leg crease.
Like, right, like he's got to actually hold his balls so I can get the rest of it.
No.
Yeah. I'm thinking right where your shorts are sitting. He's wearing bicycle shorts, guys. Jimmy John's bicycle shorts.
Yeah, right where they sit now.
That's fine. So I'm pretty much going top of the knee down.
Yep.
You know what the problem with this bet is?
What?
You win either way because you have like 80% less hair on your legs than I do.
Oh, I know.
I would have been fucked.
My God.
Dude,
I'm fucking woolly.
We can't tell because it's all albino.
Exactly. AF. That's why I don't have eyebrows either.
Can we talk about the statistic that came out like maybe 4 or 5 years ago that gingers, due to climate change, gingers are going to be...
Did you say due to climate change?
It's actual scientific fact. You could pull it up on your computer, your fancy computer there.
Oh, sure.
On the interwebs.
Where are you going with this?
Due to climate change, gingers could be extinct.
Why climate change, though?
Yeah, that has nothing to do with climate change.
No, there's an actual...
That just has to deal with the fact that it's a recessive genetic trait.
I've read this several times while I'm drunk. If you look up ginger extinction...
That last word was the key word, yep.
Yeah, but... Google search gingers going extinct due to climate change. Because I think there's actually, and it's not like climate change, like global warming
that's the thing. I'm just going to put it that the only way now that I could see gingers going extinct from climate change is if we get to a point where the ozone layer is so deteriorated that they can't go outside.
With that being said,
sunburned to death.
That's what I'm saying. Like if you get sunburned in 30 seconds that it takes to go to your car, and then any ginger that wants to survive has to get like special extra ceramic window tint.
There is an article about this.
Is that on the Onion?
On what publication?
Oh, it's on the Onion.
No, it's not on the Onion. Independent.
I've seen it on several different publications though.
I'm gonna.
Independent.uk. It's one of the smallest fucking news article sites that's ever been mentioned on this podcast.
It's not the only one though. There's like several of them.
Tell me that article's from before 2010.
It's 2014.
Ooh, the dumb years.
I said 5 years.
They're describing gingers. It says a gene mutation that yields red hair and pale skin.
Dude, you're a mutant. You're a goddamn X-Man. I think, with that being said, we have no opinions on climate change on this podcast.
Yeah.
If you would like to know outside of the podcast, please do not ask.
The only opinions on climate change that we will have in the near future will be on the expansion and retraction of whiskey barrels in Florida, how it's going to be one of the things that drives us to greatness because of the climate here.
Or to failure, one or the other.
Who knows? Who knows?
By the way, more or less, this article is saying we're just all going to get skin cancer. That's basically what it's saying.
It's basically, yeah, see, it's trying to say
that. Which, I mean, that makes sense.
I mean, I'm already a cancer to those around me.
It's saying that climate change is going to cause the sun to weed out all gingers.
And gingers
and I don't think that's going
to
happen.
Susceptible.
To skin cancer, basically, is what it's saying.
So I'm not wrong.
Yeah, but it's a stretch.
You and your arguments are terrible.
It's a stretch.
When you're smashed and you see something like that, you call your ginger friends, okay?
I haven't received a call from you about this.
I just remembered it and told you. Okay. I saw that in 2014. That was before I met you.
Well, I guess we know what you're getting for Christmas.
That was before
I met you. A lot of sunblock.
That was before I met
you. I don't want to lose you, man.
Yeah. You must spend a lot of money on aloe vera.
I don't. I do spend money on sunscreen, though.
Do you?
Yeah. I use SPF 100.
How often are you in out? Do you like plan accordingly outside situations?
He runs
I mean,
the
I bring
clouds, the
I,
pass.
If it's like something where I'm going to be out in the sun for a long period of time, I do make sure to bring sunscreen.
That's good. Like, that's good.
Cause... sometimes I golf, like with my dad.
Do you?
Yeah. Yeah, I golf.
Do you wear one of those like head umbrellas?
Yeah.
Just keeps all the sun off completely.
He's only saying that because when I make him play Golden Tee at Sports Town all the time, and you can win a umbrella hat. And
I'm not going to lie. Like, it looks real peaceful under that thing.
The only reason why he thought about that, I'm pretty sure, is because of Golden Tee.
A little bit.
And you just found out, was it you or Alex last night that you just found out about?
Alex did.
Golden Tee is like a thing.
Yeah. It is. Sorry, my lack of enthusiasm just says I don't want to get into talking about
this. We don't have to. It'll be the end of it number here, of minutes. But I was very surprised that someone realized that Golden Tee tournaments are a thing.
Yeah. Well, just the fact that like any video game now that you can master that has a sheer level of difficulty, which Golden Tee absolutely does.
Oh my God.
It's quite difficult.
You know what to the most difficult
get
part
those
is?
In pars. What?
It's never in a place that doesn't have alcohol.
Well, that's why it's on the bartender's ball.
Getting back to bartending.
But no, just real quick. No, I want us to talk about those whiskey pods.
Oh, yeah. That was actually something we wanted to get back into. Yeah. That's what I was going to say.
Well, just because hearing of them, they showed a picture of the just regular Glenlivet 10-year double cask regular whiskey, their like flagship bottle.
And we thought next to these whiskey pods. Conversation about this. Like, what is it? Is it just like a 2-ounce pour of whiskey?
Yeah,
are
you just popping a little water balloon full of whiskey in your mouth? Yeah. And now you just kind of like, you have to take the whole 2-ounce shot.
Mm.
And I think it was very interesting because I didn't know until we researched it and looked into it a little bit more today that they are actually pre-made cocktails. And they have three different types in them with one of those like seaweed, alginate kind of blob ball things that they're an edible biodegradable ball that they're encased in.
So 2 points I want to add to that. Number one, you have to explain the meme you sent me.
Oh, man.
You have to do that.
It's amazing.
If we're going to talk about this, we have to talk about the meme. And then I want to make an actual point from a documentary I watched. So go for it.
Yeah. Well, it starts off where it's like, hey, Glenlivet introduces these new whiskey pods. Somebody's like, man, Glenlivet, I really hate to tell you, but teens are going to put these in their butts.
And then
one of the writers is like, teens, I'm 37.
Just so you know, butt chugging was not invented by teens. It was invented by Steve-O on Jackass.
Yeah.
100%.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
just before we go any further, I have the flavors here where they come in citrus, wood, and spice. Shout out Glenlivet. If we can get a sponsorship, we will.
Yeah. We're trying to make enough money to buy that Nick Offerman whiskey.
Yeah. The citrus has some nice blends of grapefruit and pepperiness with Glenlivet Founders Reserve. Then you have the wood, which has the Founders Reserve with powerful woody notes of cedar, sandalwood, and nutty Oloroso.
Sandalwood always up to no good.
Woo!
Bars.
God.
Bars, bro.
Then, I stole that from Schmidt on New Girl.
Yeah. And then a nice spicy one, again with the Founders Reserve, and some nice walnut bitters, leather, and tobacco.
That sounds incredible.
Yeah.
Real quick, before I dive into my initial point, we're pouring another little bit of this. I want you to tell me if you taste a difference now that it's more room temperature in the trip in the woods. This is a big-ass bottle.
Yeah. See if you don't like it any more than you did before.
Well, there's definitely...
It's not terrible. It's just I'm not a huge fan of malt flavor.
Right.
So if you like malt flavor, you're going to fucking love this.
Yeah, no, don't worry, dude. The room temperature-ness really amplifies that maltiness.
No, but it's a different flavor because he had it almost cold, and now it's a completely different flavor, and I'd say it's more smooth.
Yeah, it kind of mellowed out. It is a lot smoother.
Oh, from Dustin's being room right, and you don't want me to be, and that's why you're upset.
And
right
I
now.
Hate it.
So I watched this documentary on Amazon Prime about Scotch. It was a 3-part documentary, and it was really a passion project because the guy was very Scottish, and people in Scotland are very serious about their scotch.
Yeah.
And he went down to London.
Okay.
And according to him, as he was talking about it, one of the worst things you could do with scotch is make it into a cocktail.
Absolutely.
And it's weird to me, now I know that scotch can taste good in a cocktail.
Well, now in when I say that as a craft cocktail bartender, I have to reiterate that with saying, aside from some of the, like, you don't even have to be like the classic recipes, but something that, now there are cocktails. Now, when I say cocktails, I mean there are cocktails like a, any of these classic cocktails, like a Vucaray and things like that, or where they're made with different scotches, whiskeys, bourbons, mixes of cognacs and things like that. Those are the cocktails that it's acceptable to use it in. But don't use a fucking 16-year scotch in a scotch and ginger.
Well, I think that there, before we go any further, there has to be a line drawn in the sand. There are two different kinds of scotch. There is single malt and there's blended.
Yes.
And I think if you have to use scotch in a cocktail, it has to be blended.
Yeah.
Single malt scotch, to like Crown me Royal. Personally, yeah.
Crown like you Royal can use Crown Royal Chavez, as a mixing scotch.
Chavez Regal, I think, is better than Crown Royal, personally.
Yeah.
And there was another, well, Peat Monster is blended, and that one's pretty good. It's got a shit ton of smokiness to it, which is
But nice. I'm just saying, like we were talking about before, Lagavulin.
Lagavulin.
You're not going to use that in a scotch and coke.
You're a moron.
Yeah.
If you, like, honestly, I've never refused a drink to a sober person with money, except for one time. One time,
yeah.
Somebody wanted to use Oban 14 year,
yeah,
in a cocktail, and I said, I don't think I can make that happen for you.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yep.
And Oban 14 is not even, to me, it's not my favorite, but I'll drink the shit out of it.
Yeah,
it's good, but it's not my favorite. But I just couldn't do it.
Yeah,
you know, and it's really interesting because the way I think about scotch is not the way I think about mezcal, which is equally, you know, smoky and peaty with the same, not the same, but similar flavors to it.
Yeah.
Because I will mix mezcal into a cocktail.
Yeah.
I did it last night.
Absolutely.
At Aku.
Yeah.
Shout out to Pixie. She was our bartender.
Ooh.
She's awesome.
Nice.
I just feel like if you're going to do a cocktail, don't use single malt scotch.
No.
Single barrel scotch.
Yeah, do not.
You gotta use the blended.
Yeah.
That's what it's there for.
Mm-hmm.
And I, honestly, I stayed away from blended scotch for so long.
Yeah.
And now I'm starting, now I'll drink it. And it's few and far between. Monkey Shoulder's really good.
Yeah. Monkey Shoulder's a nice one.
Yeah. But I think it's just a respect thing. I don't know what it is. Like, you don't need to add anything. We've talked about this on the podcast about adding water to open up.
Yeah.
I've done it. It's like the perfect pour for Guinness to me.
Yeah.
Just shut the fuck up. Pour me my straight up scotch.
Just give me my beer.
God damn it.
Yep.
I've had Guinness 36 different kinds of ways.
Yeah.
It all tastes the same.
Yep. No, I told you before, I used to have my favorite regular at Ale House.
Mm-hmm.
He would never want me to pour a Guinness like the quote unquote traditional way. He'd be like, God damn it, just set the glass down below it. Push the tap back, pour the full fucking thing, and set it down in front of me. I'll drink it when it's ready.
Boom.
I'm fine.
Slow draw. And I, you know what, though? And you and I have gotten an argument about things like this, too.
What, pushing, like, the tap back versus pulling it forward?
No. Guinness has created an image doing that.
Mm-hmm.
That it is a cut above the rest.
Yeah, that it deserves its own pour.
And it really doesn't. But we had a conversation similar to this when I coughed, or I didn't cough, I like huffed at a left Twix versus right Twix fucking commercial, and I'm like, well, you put two left Twix in a bag, one of them's gonna be the right Twix now.
Yeah.
And you're like, it's a genius marketing ploy.
Yeah.
And I thought it was the dumbest thing I've ever
heard. It was Got Milk all over again.
Oh my God.
It is kind of genius marketing, but it's just that. It's just marketing. It's not anything else. It's nothing to look into.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
It's just good marketing.
Things piss me off.
It's like smart water.
Yeah.
What genius marketing.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing special about that water.
Nope, not at all.
But I buy it because I'm smart.
But, yeah. Yep. Here we are.
It's also 2 for $2.22 at fucking BP right now. Yeah. So there's that. I can buy a case of them right next to a case of Natterday.
Yeah. But like a scotch that we just mentioned, I want to mention this. There's now that new Nick Offerman from Parks and Recreation. He has his own brand of Lagavulin.
Yeah.
He has his own special edition, the Offerman edition.
We're very interested in trying.
Yes, we will.
We will try it.
And we compared it to that Game of Thrones scotch series that came out a little while ago.
In pre-production.
Yeah. This one actually has, it's not exorbitantly priced. It comes in a nice $74.99. We'll have to see if there's one available at a Total Wine near us.
Yeah, and you know, at first you think, oh, it's a gimmick.
Yeah.
But when they did the Game of Thrones thing, mm-hmm. and they came out, and it was different blends, it's not like they just made this shit up
mm-hmm.
and created it in the year or so that they decided to do it.
Mm-hmm.
They handpicked those casks.
Mm-hmm.
They handpicked all of that whiskey, so it was aged.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's anything past 12 years, I would imagine.
No, a lot of... Honestly, though...
But then again, the whole set of, like, 12 was $800.
But that's what I'm saying. That's why I was a little bit disappointed, because a lot of those bottles were just the...
The Lagavulin one was wildly mediocre, but the Delwini was...
Honestly, a lot of those bottles were 6 and 8 years old, and they all usually... And I think that most of them clocked in at about $50 to $80, except for maybe the one, which was, what, the Oban, like... Mm-hmm.
Talisker was good.
Yeah. No. The Talisker was the most expensive. And then there was also the Johnny Walker Black White Walker.
Which
was also subpar as well.
Johnny Walker.
They literally just, it was the Johnny Walker Black with a Johnny Walker White, I think.
It was a spice.
Labeled across it.
They added a spice to it.
Oh. See, I never even tried it.
You're supposed to drink it cold.
Fuck you.
That's what they said. Stick it in the freezer.
I'm done talking about it now. Next topic. Nope.
How does it make you feel?
Cold scotch? Nah, fuck off.
There's somebody that is near and dear to my heart.
Yeah?
That once told me, you let me know when you're ready to party. I have a bottle of Johnny Walker in the freezer.
Yeah?
I've never called him since.
Yeah?
Yeah. They hurt my feelings.
Oh, that's that David guy out in Tampa, isn't it?
No.
Oh.
David in Tampa?
Oh, I don't know.
Who are you talking about?
The one guy that we met out there, the night that we went to that Bucks game and stopped by and saw him after. He used to work with him. He's got some kind of a podcast.
You
or
mean
some.
Brian?
I don't know.
Brian's not dumb. He just drinks shitty beer. Shout out to Brian Alvear.
That's it. Brian Alvear. There we go. I had to hear the last name.
Good thing he doesn't listen to this podcast. He'd be like, who the fuck is David? But he only met you once. It was for 10 minutes. We smashed a Keystone Light or Natural Light or whatever it was. Brian's a great guy, though.
Yeah. No, he was. Awesome. He's very cool. Funny.
He's always wanted me to start like a Tenacious D style band, like a comedy band with me.
You fit the face of it.
Well, some would say I'm overweight and I have a beard. I'm losing weight and I have no idea.
Yeah.
Maybe it's stress.
Yeah. But just real quick, touch on that Nick Offerman scotch one more time. It started coming out beginning of October this month.
Limited release, though.
It's not going to be around for a while. If you like Parks and Recreation, Nick Offerman, go try to find a bottle.
But if you see two bottles, make sure you buy one for us.
Boom.
You know what I think it really is, too, is like you see before, back in the day, you'd see a lot of celebrities try to come out with their own shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or be a part of a company. They use celebrities as figureheads. And now I think they've just got smarter once they've lost money on these ventures.
Yeah.
And they're just like, oh, well, you know, fucking, these guys have been around for forever. Let me just put my name on six of these casks. We'll do a limited release and throw it out there and make myself some money and them some money at the same time.
Yeah.
Genius. I will tell you, I am not a gin guy at all.
Mm-hmm.
But the other night, I tried Aviation Gin for the first time.
Yeah.
And I sipped it. It was like a quarter of a shot.
Thimbleful.
It wasn't much, but I tasted so much.
Yeah, you got all the flavors because that's the thing. Gin has one of the most complex flavor profiles with the orange peel and juniper and cardamom. And
where in the hell does the nail polish remover come into play? Because that's what I'm trying to figure out.
Is that all you taste?
It's all I smell, typically.
Fabuloso.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's fabulous.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I thought it was, I'm like, man, I could drink this in a gin mule.
Yeah.
100%. I think it would bring a lot to the table. So for a celebrity that actually has or is a part of a gin company, like has his name behind it and everything, I think he did a swell job.
Yeah.
And I'm not a gin guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things that the country of England offers that I have not jumped on that train. Shout out to Steve Santos, who thinks that like I am so in love with England.
You are.
I think it's a great country. Yeah. I love their people. But I also really like being American.
Yeah. Shout out to Sam. Let's go get extra work done.
Yeah.
Let's do it. I was thinking about that today.
And you know, well, Tom does it too. And Tom was a producer on this podcast before he was.
Oh,
not
yeah.
a producer, an engineer. Oh, okay. Well, you're a producer. He's an engineer.
Yeah, he didn't produce anything. He just engineered it.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
Well, he just...
Tomato, potato.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever
he
it is.
He hit record?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he also had a couple of different things. But he did it, what, once or twice? I don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
He did an okay job. That was when yeah. we started to... That, it wasn't his fault that we didn't sound good. We just didn't have the right equipment.
Yeah.
And then we got this guy.
Hey.
Right?
And we're going to do everything we can to make sure he didn't go extinct.
Right.
Yeah.
Why do you think we give him such expensive alcohol and don't make him pay for shit?
That and sunblock.
Yeah. We're going to start a sunblock fund.
Not a bad idea.
Not a bad idea.
We should start a brand.
Idea. We should start a brand.
And it smells like whiskey.
The ginger.
You read my mind.
Like an alcoholic.
Yep. You read my mind.
And it's got like super, we're going to do the sunblock and the aloe. And we'll call the aloe the ginger recovery serum.
Now we're on to something.
We're in there. If we use the word serum, it's not normal, so people will buy it more.
Yeah.
Got it.
And the aloe can also be used in cocktails.
Boom.
It's got a nice flavor.
Oh, my God.
Genius.
Never thought
Speaking
about
it. Speaking of that, I what? Know I might be springing this up on you.
What?
Do you have a cocktail of the week this week? I am.
Nah, I don't.
Don't worry. I got a beer of the week.
Yeah? What do you got for us?
The Old Rasputin Barrel Age,
mm-hmm.
which you can find in the downtown world of beer. There's several different years of it. You can find it anywhere. There's a lot of places that do carry it that typically have bigger bottles, bombers, things of that nature. We're going to crack it open,
yeah.
but I already know it tastes good.
Yeah.
It's a Russian Imperial Stout. So by itself, it's... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
By itself, it's really good. But then they barrel aged it, and I've had it before. It tastes even better. And... I had a Hebrew beer. Have you heard of the Hebrews? The Hebrew beer?
Hebrew.
Hebrew Brewing Company?
No.
It's obviously a Jewish brewing company.
Really?
Yeah. I had one of their bombers. I can't remember the name for the life of me. I'm going to have to look it up. It was like a perfect chocolate and toffee and
yeah.
a little bit of caramel in there. It was like the perfect mix.
Okay.
I'm going to bring a bottle home. I'm going to bring two bottles home for the next podcast. Maybe three. We'll all just smash a bottle.
Do it.
Let's do it. But, in place of Drew's Cocktail of the Week,
yeah.
I also highly encourage anybody in the Orlando area or can get to the Orlando area to go check out what they have at the Half Barrel Project.
Yeah.
Because that's where I picked up that bottle from. They easily have one of the best selections of beers that you can't really get a hold of normally in Florida. And they also make their own beer there. It's a very small operation, probably about the size of the living room we're in.
Nice.
Actually, half the size of the living room, that's their brewing operation.
Nice.
It's really cool. The place is really laid back.
Okay.
So in place of that, I highly recommend everybody go to the Half Barrel Project. We've mentioned them before, too. But the next beer we're cracking open is that barrel-aged Rasputin.
All right.
So there's Dustin's beer suggestion of
beer of the week.
Yeah.
Speaking of, we had an interesting topic before we turned the mics on.
Yes.
There's going to be a shortage of some of the finer aged whiskeys that you enjoy.
Irish whiskeys.
Coming out of Ireland, yep.
Irish whiskeys, yeah.
Yep.
I
say, for instance, if we could circulate this discussion around, say, Jameson 12-year.
Okay.
Let's just talk about just Jameson 12-year.
Just Jameson 12-year.
Yeah.
I feel like they're going to be fine.
You think that the powers that be can just create whiskey out of nowhere?
What is causing this shortage?
The
boom in whiskey.
Yeah, oh, okay. The boom in whiskey, just saying that in 5 to 7 years from now, there's going to be a demand for, say, 60,000 bottles of Jameson 12-year.
Mm-hmm.
However, right now, they only have about 37 bottles that are going to be matured to 12 years
mm-hmm.
in 5 to 7 years.
Okay.
Makes so... sense. How do they see to fill that demand if the demand increases the way that they expect?
So what you do is create demand for the next 6 years. And how do you do that? You limit the supply, make it harder to get. It becomes more expensive in that span of now. If so, say that in 5 to 6 years, you obviously prepare for the next batch of 12-year now. which mm-hmm. will be ready 12 years from now. 5 to 6 years. It's genius on their part, actually. I didn't think about this until right now.
So you're saying that there will be a shortage?
If there is a shortage, which I doubt that it'll be that big of a deal because nobody really goes... Like, Jameson is popular.
But no, but like a shortage literally causes the behavior that you're talking about.
I said if there is a shortage, hypothetically speaking. I don't think it'll affect them, is what I'm trying to say. That was a point I think we might have got lost in. I think what I was trying to say earlier when we got into a little bit of a debate about it was I'm not trying to argue whether or not there is a shortage. I just think they'll be okay.
Of course.
But I did.
Yeah, I'm not saying Jameson's going to go out of business. The misunderstanding
was when I said, do you really think there's going to be a shortage?
Yeah. I'm just saying, obviously Jameson's not going to go out of business.
But that's also based on analytics, which aren't always correct.
Of course.
Semantics.
And yeah, another one of your brilliant semantical points.
I think when you're saying if the trajectory stays the same is also semantic.
No. If the hypothesis and the theory that
I got a random one that's gonna piss him off as soon as I say it.
Go for it.
Based on those numbers, Tamagotchi should have never gone out of style.
No, that's not true at all.
Huge it's
complete
spike.
Apples and oranges.
And when they came back, it should have been even bigger.
No.
Just saying. Based on the video game sales surrounding.
No, that's and like how trying to say that then the Pokemon cards was. Were going to be 10 times bigger now than they were when they first came out.
They actually are.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they are.
No. Little kids are not flocking to Walmart to buy packs of Pokemon cards the way that they used to be when we were in middle school.
500% disagree, because you know how I know this?
How?
Because every time my nephew comes to Florida,
yeah,
he goes home with, like, between all of us that live in Florida, mm-hmm. $600 worth of Pokemon cards, I would imagine. And little kids are...
His nephew is a sample for all children in America,
yeah.
So keep that in mind.
I mean, he lives in Denver, and they, you know what they do over there.
Well, so he's just walking around below a cloud of weed smoke playing Pokemon Go? Is that what you're saying?
I was going to say they all ski, but if you wanted to make that stretch...
Oh, hey. Yeah, you want to make cocaine references over there.
No! You stop that.
Hey.
Caleb is a saint.
Oh. So you're saying he's not doing coke off the ground in Colorado?
No. They all ski. There's slopes. It snows.
Oh.
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 It's a big jump.
Big jump. Real quick, since we're talking about Jameson 12 years, shout out to Brandon Limwai.
Yeah?
Huge fan of Jameson. And one time Jameson, because we were at the bartender's ball, I don't know if you get. Do you still get their emails?
No.
I do. Because when you sign up, you have to go through your email, this, that, and
yeah.
The other. And then they send you emails periodically, and they said, hey, get a drink of Jameson on us.
Yeah.
And what you do is you go to your local bar, buy a Jameson, and then they take a picture of the receipt, send it to them on Facebook, and they, and then you send them your PayPal information, and they PayPal'd you mm-hmm. money.
Yeah.
Huh.
So Brandon Lin Y did it, and he got like a $35 shot at Jameson. I don't remember what year it was.
Yeah.
But it was really good for him, and I took a little baby sip of it.
I wonder if it was Jameson 12 year.
I don't know. It was a really funny story, actually. Because I took a picture of it, his receipt, and I sent it, and Jameson sent me $8, which was nice. I knew they weren't going to send me the full $35. But while I was talking to him about how much I love whiskey and how much I think you shouldn't add anything to it, or scotch, I mean, how much I love scotch. And I had it, my drink of scotch in the bar, and I have long hair.
Mm-hmm.
So as I'm talking about how you shouldn't put anything in scotch, I saw like 4 inches of my hair just chilling in my scotch glass. And it was after work, so it's not even like clean hair.
Ugh.
Just
when,
marinating.
When was this that you were hanging out
with Drew? Well, Drew was with us.
Oh, okay.
It was like, I want to say like 6 months ago.
Damn.
Was it whenever Andrew left?
No.
Oh, okay.
We got steaks that night from Walmart. They went to Walmart and grabbed steaks.
Oh, okay.
And then they all
big
ended up.
Big baller shit.
Yeah. Well, we were all feeling ourselves.
Yeah.
And then I put Drew in charge of cooking them.
Oh, I remember that night. Okay.
That sounds like a terrible idea.
No,
from
he's
the
actually
way
not
this
bad.
Way is going.
He's not bad.
No, yeah, he's great.
Yeah, he does it. He
okay.
Does it to
he's
it.
Straight chefing it up.
Yeah, yeah. He didn't do it that night. That was a little more. It was a little more well than normal. Like when we did it the other night when I wasn't paying attention.
Well darn.
Well darn is right.
You know all about those well darn steaks.
But yeah, you should start making sure you get those emails because that's how we're going to get back on the namesake of this podcast, which is the Bartender's Ball.
Is that how we're going to get back on?
Yeah,
they do. I don't think they do. I think that you always just have to get tickets through your rep.
Good thing I know all the reps.
And I've already mentioned them to my reps.
Hey.
Yeah.
What were we just talking about before I went off on that tangent? Oh, the shortage of whiskey. Sorry.
Yeah.
If there is a shortage of whiskey, I think it'll play in Jameson's favor of the 12-year whiskey.
Of course.
It'll play.
They just charge more for it.
Correct. And then when they have an ample amount, 12 years, or in this case, let's just imagine it's 6 years after, if they're preparing now for a shortage in 5 to 6 years, when the next batch comes out, it'll be $20 more expensive than it was before.
Yep.
You got to create the demand. Now, the question is, did they do it on purpose?
Well, that's a conspiracy.
No, I don't think that they did it on purpose. I think that it's just one of those things where, yes, good business sense is going to pull them through, and they are probably going to be able to profit from an increase in demand and a shortage in supply, which is just good business sense.
Mm-hmm.
But all in all of this circulates from a shortage.
So
there is going to be a shortage. That's all.
Yeah.
I say in 5 to 6 years when we do podcast episode 8,000, or at this rate, probably like 1,000.
I was just going to say, 8, man, there's not even 8,000 days in between now.
3 podcasts a day.
Yeah.
I think we're going to have to rehash this.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're not going to get there if we keep making them all this long.
I know. We're not that far in. How far deep are
we? 46 minutes.
What?
Yeah.
The last one we did was an hour and 15.
And I think we're right around that good, crisp, cool line of where this is a perfect area
to talk about Jesus Christ.
And now that everyone's gone,
we do have to go through our voice messages.
Goodbye.
Oh, my gosh. We haven't gone through our voice messages.
All right. Well, there we go. That'll be our closing segment.
We're going to end on the voice messages. We have a few of them.
Maybe that could be like a regular thing.
Two contributors, Charles fucking Norman.
Yeah.
Dude, big boss.
And also Rebecca Riddle have given us a couple of questions. Well, two questions and then a couple of statements.
Yeah.
Which would you like me to start with?
Let's start with Rebecca.
Yeah. Okay. Rebecca's long time, first time.
Right, long time, cool. First time. She actually says that we get her through her day, which is awesome. I love it when... I can't stand the sound of my own voice. So the
I know,
fact
and if
somebody else
is enjoying listening to us ramble like this,
it's perfect.
I'm glad we can bring somebody else some joy in all
joy,
this.
Joy, yeah. So here's Rebecca's question.
Hi guys, Rebecca Riddle here. Love the podcast. Thanks for the midday entertainment. I have a suggestion for a topic that might be fun and interesting. Secret ingredient in drinks. Back in the day when I was a bartender, I had a secret ingredient for Bloody Mary.
I'm just going to cut this out anyway and put the actual audio over it. So.
Anyway, feel free to
laugh. Thank you so much for all the fun time listening.
So,
all right.
Secret ingredients in cocktails. I think, honestly, from a bartending standpoint, at least in my case, if somebody asked me to make up a cocktail, I might try to throw a little razzle dazzle in there. But if they ask me, I'm legally obligated to tell them what's in there.
Yeah.
But like for at home use, for my like Bloody Marys, for example, like she used, I like to throw a little A1 sauce in my Bloody Marys.
Ooh.
I honestly don't really think that's much of a secret anymore.
It's not really. The jerk chicken sauce that she was talking about sounds incredible.
No, yeah, that definitely sounds like a nice secret ingredient. But I mean, I'll find in ways that I think that secret ingredients have gone. Less from being secret to being almost your calling card.
Like
of being like, what's the most eclectic ingredient that I can advertise is in this cocktail?
Dude, those coffee beans came out of a monkey's asshole. And exactly. They were fermented in a monk's asshole.
Yeah. What are those called?
I don't know.
The like Alouac or something like that?
Yeah, it's very interesting. Yeah. Either way. But no, yeah. I think...
One day we'll do a coffee episode and we'll have some Kopi Luwak, that's it.
Kopi Luwak.
That's the coffee that comes out of monkey butts.
What was that movie that featured it heavily with freaking...
See, we're losing it. We're losing steam. We're losing it.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's just all I could think of as soon as we meant, as soon as I said coffee yep. coming out of monkey butts. It's Jack Nicholson. The Bucket List.
Oh.
With Morgan Freeman.
Oh. Yeah, that was an interesting movie. It was good.
Sorry, I moved it.
So no secret ingredients.
I just think secret ingredients are... Trying to be adventurous, I think, at this point. Yeah, you gotta, like...
Like, we just brought out a Tokyo Cosmo at my job, and it's a Tokyo Cosmo because it uses a special yuzu cordial. Yuzu is just a Japanese citrus fruit.
Right.
So it's like, okay, that might be, like, the secret ingredient that makes it a Tokyo Cosmo, but, like, now, I mean, back in... say the mid-90s, the allure that would bring people in and they'd be like, oh, you got to go have that Tokyo Cosmo because I don't know what makes it a Tokyo Cosmo, but it is damn good. And now, in the age that information travels so quickly, they just embrace it and they're like, look, we actually have this delicious Tokyo citrus fruit syrup. Come in and get it because that's what makes our Cosmo the best.
And I think secret ingredients in bars, too, happened because they didn't really want to tell people that they were drinking maybe like a lesser product inside the drink as well.
Really?
Yeah. Like,
you think so?
I don't know. I feel like that could have been a factor early on, at least.
I think secret ingredients back then were, like maybe you don't want somebody to know how simple it is that you've elevated something to a truly great level.
Correct.
You know what I mean? Of saying like,
and it's like you're going through the process of doing this,
exactly
infusing,
and it's like I can understand with her like if all of a sudden the entire fucking bar is raving about how good these Bloody Marys are. She doesn't just want to go out and say, oh, I just put a few drops of jerk wing sauce in there. That's all.
And you do actually
because then
see
that
on
loses
some ingredients.
Some of the magic. Like you see behind the curtain.
Correct.
And it makes it not so good.
That is still a thing of like our secret sauce.
Yeah.
Which has things in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I'm extremely intrigued to give that a whirl.
Yeah.
The jerk chicken. We're going to have to get better than the Blue Star Vodka we have in my house to.
No, you know where we'd get. And for the wing sauce, we should hit up a Wingstop.
No.
No?
No.
No.
There's a Jamaican / English restaurant that went into, you know that street that Ibar and Bartok, or Ibar and that taco place is that everybody goes to? Ibar
Tim
and
Taco?
No, what the other one?
No, hey, we got a voicemail
Gringo's
from Charles Locals. Norman.
No, I'm just saying, it's an English / Jamaican bar. We should see if they have jerk chicken and go in there and take some of that stuff.
I'm there.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
You're closer, so you're going to have to pick it up.
I think we should go there, you know, for the best experience.
Okay,
get it fresh from the source.
Well,
let's
no,
do that.
I mean, we need to take the sauce here and make a Bloody Mary with it, is what I'm saying.
No, I'd say that we take it downtown and, you know, we bring like a little, like 2 or 4 ounce little souffle cup full of it into a bar and we say, hey, you want to make us Bloody Mary with this? They're like, well, if that's alcohol, we can't use that. Oh, no, it's not alcohol. It's just a little secret ingredient. Let me see how it goes.
I'm saying if they have a jerk chicken sauce, we just take some of that home and make a Bloody Mary here with it.
Yeah, no, see, I say let's do it on location because heating up sauces, you know that doesn't go well.
I do okay with it.
Hey, yeah, no, you also drink warm beer, so. Yeah, here we go.
All my beer is warm. I just said that.
I watched you wrap your legs around a White Claw for 45 minutes before you drank it last night.
Because it was... If you drink a freezing cold ice claw, White Claw, it's going to hurt.
That little slip right there. If you drink an ice claw, I mean White Claw, oh my God, they tear your throat up.
It really did not feel good. We're not going to get to this Rasputin. This bottle's so fucking big.
Yeah, no.
It's really big.
We're going to have to save that for next week.
I'm probably just going
to
drink
That'll encourage us. No, you should save it. That would encourage us to do another episode sooner.
Tried to do that last week.
Yeah.
Do one tomorrow morning.
There we go.
All right.
Boom.
Like Charles Norman. He's got a few things for us.
Fucking Norman.
Do you want to play them all in a row?
Yes. I'm going to play them all.
God.
Let's go. We love you, Charles.
Rabbit hole.
First question. Has Mel ever tasted your beer? Second question. Does she even like it?
I forgot about that one.
Well...
Mel has tasted our beer.
Has she?
One time.
Does she like it?
She was like, it's not bad.
Yeah?
I think she was.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure she tried it.
Okay.
That was her constructive criticism. Not bad.
Not bad.
Have you met Mel? There's very few times that positive things come out of her mouth.
Yeah, and she's got a big mouth.
Shots fired.
Melanie, by the way, was wondering when we were going to tag her again so she can listen. She did listen to our podcast. She said they were funny.
Nice.
And now that her name is mentioned in these, which I think, honestly, for when we put the Facebook post up, we're just going to tag everybody we talk about.
We have to.
We have to.
Heather we have Kennan. To. Friend requests incoming.
Heather Kennan, hashtag.
Yeah.
All right, next one.
All right.
Next
hashtag, one. I'm going to start a Facebook group.
He's really starting to hit the hard-hitting questions with this one.
Now, for those of you that don't know, real quick, Charles fucking Norman, we call him that because on his loyalty rewards program for World of Beer, when you search his name,
yeah,
you actually have to type Charles fucking and then Norman on the bottom.
Oh.
So it's pretty funny. We just call him Chuck or fucking Chuck or Charles fucking Norman.
There you go.
Yeah.
Do you know the answer to that?
No. I was supposed to look it up and sound cool.
Yeah.
Do you know the answer to that?
No. I can Google it.
Yeah, we're going to Google it. We're going to answer that question and fix it in post.
I think it's around 13.4, something like
that's
that.
That's going to be the intro of the episode. It's just...
Oh, by the way, it'll Charles.
Make, yeah, it'll make sense at the end of the
there
episode.
There we go. Yeah,
and we're going to leave this part in.
Yeah. Hey.
I think we're going back in time.
All right, next question.
Yeah. Next question. So,
yeah, take it away, big guy.
100%. The answer is yes. And actually, the person who bought the product just so happened to walk in the room. Beth Neal, come on in.
There we go.
Come closer.
Helping keep his come locks closer.
Charles
shiny.
Norman, you know of Charles Norman, because you bartended at World of Beer, has asked us, come closer to the mic, dear, has asked us, what product do I use in my hair, if any? And you purchased the last round of shampoo and conditioner.
What keeps that glorious mane?
It's in bar
untangled
form. And it's in the form of a bar.
Tolerable
like a
by
bar.
Ashley.
Yeah, I actually bought it from Bassin. It's the Disney cosmetic store from Disney Springs. And it's like the hazelnut flavor.
I'm on ooh. That Disney princess shit.
Ooh. There you go.
But yeah, it's a shampoo bar and a conditioner bar from Bassin.
Nice.
Boom.
Careful, Ashley. He's going to let a prince climb up his hair one day.
And how do you feel about Trip in the Woods? Because you got a little sip of it as well.
Yeah, what do you think of what we're drinking?
It was really good.
Nice.
Boom. Awesome. All right. That is Beth Neal's Thoughts of the Week. Shout out to Tom.
Yeah.
That's corny.
And then just in case he was talking about both my hair and my beard,
yeah,
I actually go to Lush. They have this product called Kalamazoo. It's a beard and face wash, and it does really well. It's
I will say I've used that before.
It's good.
It's nice.
It's really good.
It's nice. That, and I will say, I'm not one for all these like activated charcoal products, but they have one of those charcoal like facial scrub bars that's really nice as well.
Awesome. Shout out to Lush.
Yes.
Do we have another one? I love how you took this question so seriously.
Well, I only
thought it
took
was just like a meme.
No, he really
and
did.
Then,
well,
and then
if I'm being honest, I was going to just like fuck with it. And then Beth just happened to walk in and she actually
see, why do you think we saved this
it?
One for the end
yeah.
when he was a little bit tipsy and revealing of himself?
Boom. Is there another one?
There is one more.
Let's hear it.
This is Charles fucking Norman here at the downtown Wild.
<You're old. laughs>
How was that beer, big guy?
You know, that was the only beer that I remember drinking, and I barely remember drinking. But it was really good. BrewDog. There's a lot of things I love about BrewDog, and there's a lot of things I hate about BrewDog. They're very gimmicky in a lot of senses. Like, they have one of the most expensive beers in the world, right?
Really?
And
is that the one you bought?
No.
Oh.
Judging by what he was talking about, yes.
Right?
But it comes like in the bottle comes wrapped in a taxidermied squirrel. Like, that's actually true.
There can be a lot of questionable ways that they put that bottle inside that squirrel.
Yeah.
There very much is. But for all intents and purposes, they actually are completely thwarting the progress of craft beer.
Cheers to you on that saying.
They 100%. Some
linguistic abilities still linger in that old cranium of yours, even after a
every now and
12%
again,
beer.
They own the Doghouse, which is the first ever craft beer hotel.
Okay.
Have you heard of it?
Are you allowed to bring your pets?
I don't know. But they have it's in Ohio, of all places. Which I guess they're from the UK, so if they're going to mimic the weather,
yeah,
sure. We want to be depressed all the time. I'm just kidding. Woof.
It's not Seattle.
That's a joke. But no, it's in Seattle, or it's in, not in Seattle, it's in Ohio, and like,
Ohio.
There's like a refrigerator in the shower with beers in it.
Yeah, I think you were telling me about
There's like taps all over your hotel room. The presidential suite overlooks a brewing operation.
Nice.
So your only hope is that you're not on your honeymoon and they got like a drone camera. Because that would be silly. Anyways, no, I think they're, for a lot of reasons, they do a lot of very good things. I just think that sometimes they could be a bit gimmicky, but their Tokyo Stout was...
The Tokolo Stout?
It was Tokyo, 100%. Oh. I feel like it's very hard
them to Tokyos mix that are hard to pronounce
There's
sometimes.
No L in Tokyo.
Yeah.
At least last time I checked.
Yep. It's also only two O's.
But no, it was really good.
Yeah.
The one thing I do give to Downtown Orlando's Downtown Orlando's World of Beer is they've absorbed like three restaurants worth of product.
Yeah.
Since World of Beer is currently like downsizing so they can upsize.
Yeah.
And
corporate jargon.
Yeah. They literally have one of the largest selection of rare bottles that you can find.
At the downtown location?
Like 2014, and I think they have a few bottles of 2013 Dogfish Head 120 Minute.
Wow.
That's been aging in perfect condition. They have...
from what, like 2014?
From 2014 and 2013.
Yeah.
They have, I think, over 100 bottles of various years of... Goose Island, Bourbon County, which if you're not familiar with Bourbon County, it is a very limited release once a year and people flock.
Yeah.
It's off of the shelves quickly. And they have the rare bottles, which are like $100 a bottle. They're awesome. And so when I got there, I was very taken aback by like how much they had. So I was, it's a problem, obviously. Yeah. Because I'm going to spend money there that I probably shouldn't.
Yeah.
But like that Hebrew beer, $16.
She doesn't hear
a
that
bottle.
Part.
No, she didn't listen to the podcast either. Shout out to Ashley Marsdale. That beer was incredible.
Good Lord. Did you fart or did Cooper?
It was definitely Cooper.
Good God.
We have two podcast dogs. For those of you that don't know, we'll put a picture of them on the Instagram.
Yeah.
We have Cooper and Dax, and they protect us.
This is two podcasts in a row. He's just slept right next to me.
Yeah.
He likes you.
Chilling.
He does.
He's like, man, you guys aren't going to be around much longer. I'm going to snuggle up while I can.
Oh, one more thing before we end, though. I did think of
two more things.
What? What you got?
You go first.
No, I don't want to end started. It.
How do you feel about these goose memes that are everywhere?
What goose memes?
You haven't seen them yet?
No.
Everybody just start Googling these goose memes.
Goose memes?
Yeah,
I haven't
great.
Seen them. What is it?
As you were.
Honk. No. Jesus.
There's also a goose game that's coming out soon, and it's hilarious. If you go on Reddit and type in goose memes, it's great.
Anyway, no, I was just thinking of one, just to complete the theme of this being a good old bartender's podcast, the recipe for a Manhattan. Do you know the easy way to remember the recipe for a Manhattan? Because I don't know. I felt kind of dumb when I just learned this. Like, what... the name of it being a Manhattan has to do with the recipe for a Manhattan.
No idea.
The recipe for a Manhattan is 2 ounces of bourbon whiskey or just whiskey, 1 ounce of sweet vermouth, and then 2 dashes of bitters.
And then a cherry and an orange muddled every now and again?
You blasphemous fool. Get the fuck out of here. My God. No, it's not an orange. It's not a cherry. No. There is no orange zest. You just put a single I'm thinking of an old fashioned.
Sorry, I got confused.
And then those, don't you dare muddle an orange or a cherry in those as well. Even though there are some places in the Midwest.
Well, some people muddle them, but I've always on a skewer right into the glass.
Yeah. I mean, I just prefer just the orange zest and like a nice like Luxardo cherry.
Some people put, before, I hate to do this to you, some people put sugar on the orange and then muddle the cherry in the orange. And that's actually how I first learned how to make an old fashioned.
Yeah. Well, I think that those people just add just like a bar spoon or two full of water, and that's how they make their simple syrup, is muddling the granulated sugar. And it also helps grind into the orange and all that kind of. But then you get that whole kind of fruit cup paste in there that I really don't appreciate that.
I don't either.
I like the kind of syrupy fluidity that you get from the Demerara syrup and the bitters and everything and the whiskey that coats your mouth in a certain way. Mm-hmm. It's nice. But anyway, the recipe for a Manhattan can be easily remembered because it is the area code of Manhattan, 212.
Ah.
My God.
Right?
True cocktail of the week.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? You didn't have one ready. You got it. It's Manhattan.
You know what my brain immediately went to?
What?
What?
The song I Got Hoes from Ludacris.
Yeah?
Because he said, 212, I send small cities and states IOUs.
Now you get it.
757-410. My cell phone says overload.
Yeah. No, and see, and I just like fact checked myself that, yeah, the Manhattan, New York area code is 212. And that's how you can remember the recipe for a Manhattan. 2 ounces, 1 ounce, 2 dashes. 212.
Ashley just sent me a text message that has to do with the carbonation.
Yeah?
Real quick.
Oh.
The carbonation process takes between 7 and 14 days, depending on a factor like room temperature, active yeast left in your beer, the kind of sugar you use to prime the beer, and a few other things. It's not exact science, which is why I generally recommend waiting a full 2 weeks before sampling your beer. Maybe she's trying to tell us that our beer is not that shitty.
Could be.
Because the last batch we did was just god-awful.
But no, but I think that plays to what I was saying about how natural beer, or not natural beers, but like all grain beers and other beers that are brewed and distilled the way that we did.
Natural carbonation occurs.
I think that it's kind of half and half, where you have the artificial CO2, what would you call it, insemination? I don't know.
Say that slower.
So, but you have like where you force CO2 into something like a White Claw, and you do that for 100% of the carbonation.
Right.
But I think in a beer like ours, you force about 50% of the CO2 in, and the other 50% is natural carbonation.
And to be honest, you're really only forcing enough to make it go through the line.
But exactly. But that's why I'm saying that I think that the fact that you carbonate a White Claw as much as you carbonate a Pepsi.
Right.
Is what gives it that boost that does get you that drunk off of a lower alcohol percentage.
But you still get drunk.
Okay.
Just as drunk off of a White Claw or more as a beer.
Yeah.
So the main reason why I brought that up is to end an argument that we had like 3 podcasts ago.
That's okay.
That I haven't
an
dropped.
Argument no one cares about.
Yeah.
Nobody talked about
just
it
had
at
to
all.
Really put that to bed.
I've heard,
the people were
I've heard
waiting.
Several conversations. I've heard more about getting chicken parm back on the podcast than I have about
I've listened to
White
3
Claws.
Fucking episodes and they haven't fucking settled this argument.
We just did right now. Science, motherfucker. Well, that's the podcast.
Yeah.
I think
it was an
excellent
episode today.
That barrel-aged Rasputin's not making it through the night.
No?
No.
No?
No.
Up.
I'm about to open it once we go mics off. So we'll talk about it on the next round.
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right. Thanks for listening. Number 14. And please send us more questions in.
Yes. Send us more questions. Let us know more things that you want to know.
As
please
you see,
do.
We clearly use them. We use them all.
Yeah.
If you don't want them used, if you want to like a question answered, but you don't want to be on the podcast,
yeah,
just say
if you don't
that
want it played
in the voice message.
Yeah.
And check check the Instagram and Facebook pages for pictures on what we're drinking today.
Yep.
All right.
All right.
Cool.
Excellent.
Later. Boom.